I learned something this week. I was thinking about the passage, and something had happened to Zechariah in the temple. He couldn't speak. And I thought about how often it is that the woman in the household often speaks a lot more than the men do anyway. It just is part of things. And I did a little research. I Googled it, and I found out that indeed it's true that generally women speak about 25,000 words a day, and men only speak about 12. Okay, so that's the source of the frustration. You can't have a conversation if you've only got yes, dear, and no, dear. It doesn't really go that way. And so it's got to be frustrating for you women. I apologize for all the men that don't speak enough, but we're just not designed to do it, apparently. But the person that I was thinking about was Zechariah. He'd had this experience in the temple, and all of a sudden he couldn't speak at all for nearly a year. I wonder what that household was like as it was up to his wife to keep up the conversation. When Zechariah was serving in the temple, the angel Gabriel approached him, and he came before the altar. The angel told him that he was going to have a son by Elizabeth, who by now was long past child-rearing age. The same thing happened to Abraham and Sarah years before. Remember, Sarah could not have children. And then an angel appeared, came before the tent, and she was in the tent, and they said, Sarah is going to have a baby. And Sarah just laughed. And in fact, she named her son Laughter, Isaac. That's what Isaac means. Sarah had a hard time believing what the Lord was going to do. Zechariah had an equally hard time believing what it was that God was going to do. And Zechariah was afraid because this was an angelic presence. And in fact, after the angel could see that he wasn't getting anywhere with Zechariah, he raised himself up to his full height and he bellowed, I was sent by God. I stand at the right hand of God. And I was to bring you good news. And yet you don't believe me. Zechariah was dumbstruck. He was completely surprised. He was caught off guard. He was astounded. He was astonished. He was surprised, flabbergasted, and flummoxed. And he would remain so until his son John was born. He was speechless with amazement. But boy, oh boy, could that guy listen. Because now, instead of being afraid of what God might do, he was on the lookout for the Holy. Shortly after he lost his voice in that humbling experience, behold, his wife Elizabeth did become pregnant. Now, in Elizabeth's day, not to have a child was a sign, it was a disgraceful sign. It meant that God was not blessing you. You must have done something wrong, and other women looked down on you. Now she was a new woman. She was so full of life in so many ways. Before Zechariah's eyes, the angel's word has come true. Now, after about half a year of silence, there's a knock at his door. And it's his little niece, Mary. She too had an experience with the angel Gabriel. But where Zechariah did not believe the angel, Mary had said, let it happen to me, as you have said. Both she and Zechariah were bursting with good news, but Zechariah was unable to speak, and Mary didn't dare to speak. Who would believe her? Who would believe this story and about how she was going to have this baby? She was all alone in this, and she knew that the only person that would understand, because the angel Gabriel had told her about her Auntie Elizabeth, was her Auntie Elizabeth. The angel told her what had happened. Mary hadn't seen much of her aunt and uncle growing up. It wasn't like you could hop in the car and go. But she did remember how kind they had been. Their home was the only safe place that she felt she could talk freely about what was happening to her. And she came to the door. And she greeted Elizabeth. Now, then and now, the traditional greeting is shalom, which means peace. When she came to the door, when Elizabeth came to the door and saw Mary, Mary blessed her, peace, shalom. And then all of a sudden, Elizabeth just bursts into a whole paragraph worth of dialogue. She didn't even wait for Mary to tell her. She knew already what Mary was going to tell her. How important was that for Mary? Because she was afraid. The angel had frightened her, but now she was afraid of what was going to happen. Who would believe her? But for Elizabeth to come and to tell her, "No, I know, and how blessed am I that the mother of my Savior should come to visit me." She said all this before Mary had said anything beyond peace. And the amazing thing was that inside of her, little Johnny gave a swift kick. And she gasped. She cried out. Inspired by the Holy Spirit, she knew the good news. She already knew it. Mary was to confirm what was happening to Elizabeth in her old body. Soon afterwards, Mary got ready and hurried off to the town in the hill country of Judea. She went into Zechariah's house and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby moved within her. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and said in a loud voice, "You are the most blessed of all women, and blessed is the child you will bear. Why should this great thing happen to me that my Lord's mother comes to visit me? For as soon as I heard your greeting, the baby within me jumped with gladness. How happy you are to believe that the Lord's message to you will come true." May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Zechariah is not mentioned in our passage today at all. And so I thought, where was he? I'd like to think that he came running to the door when his wife let out that loud cry. Was it early childbirth pains? Was something wrong? He came, and when he saw Mary was there, and when he started to catch up with the conversation, he had to catch his breath. He sat down quietly and listened, because that's all Zechariah was good for these days. He didn't really have a choice. They talked and talked and talked, sharing what was happening to them, sharing the testimony of God's grace to them. Now, all we know about the location of this amazing meeting is that it was in a village not far from Jerusalem. It was in a village that if we had flown over it that day that Mary had arrived, we might see some women talking at the well, collecting water, and then bringing it back to their homes, cooking food. There might be some animals grazing about the edges of the village. This is what we would have seen, and we might have seen Mary standing at Elizabeth's door, but the only thing that would have struck us as unusual was that, well, Elizabeth looked a little old to be having a kid. And so, in this unnamed village, something is going on. We would have imagined that their conversation was about the weather or crops or village gossip, and yet they were talking about the most monumental thing that would happen in this world. It was unexpected, fantastic power of the presence of God of Israel. The God of Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Rebekah, Jacob and Rachel, God had seemed to be absent for so many years in the history of Israel, and now God was making an appearance. What was happening would not only change Judea and the hill country and Jerusalem, it would all of Israel and to the ends of the earth and down through the ages. This is what this conversation was about. It was hidden in this unnamed village. It looked like two peasant women talking. Zechariah sat and listened. He must have marveled at Mary, because he had stood before Gabriel. He knew what that was like. She had stood before the angel. But somehow, she had been able to say yes. To yes to these outrageous demands that Gabriel was making. He looked on. He was on the lookout for the holy now. And through tears of joy and wonder, he must have sensed and absorbed the peace that was flowing from his beloved wife, who was so happy now, and her courageous niece. As he watched the two of them, maybe he was wondering to himself, "I wonder which one needed the other more." They both needed to be listened to and believed. They both needed to be able to speak openly about what was happening to them. They both needed reassurances. They both needed strength. And as they spoke, Zechariah knew that something holy was happening. The gift of peace had descended upon them, and they were a blessing to each other. Mary stayed with them for 3 months. I imagine Zechariah was thankful for the help that she was able to offer Elizabeth in her last trimester of pregnancy. How was Mary handling her first months? Was she sick in the mornings as her body adapted to this new situation? By the time she left Mary 3 months later, she was already beginning to show. Elizabeth would soon have her long-awaited baby. Zechariah would get his voice back and put it to good use in a song of God's saving power, and also what his son John would be doing. Peace is the candle that we lit today. Mary and Elizabeth, and finally even Zechariah, received and acted on the grace of God and received the gift of peace. They were filled with peace, even though they were uncertain about what it all meant. Even as other events in their lives were so dramatically spinning around, they were blessed at this holy time with an abiding sense of peace. This is the peace that we are talking about today. Henry Nouwen said, "Did I offer peace today? Did I bring a smile to someone's face? Did I offer a word of healing? Did I let go of my anger and resentment? Did I forgive? Did I love? These are the real questions. I must trust that the little bit of love that I will now, that I sow now, will bear much fruit here in this world and in the life to come." This is peace. In our lesson today, Mary and Elizabeth demonstrated to us a way of peace. Peace is where love is shown and where truth is heard as they talk to one another. Peace is where grace is received and acted on. Grace, peace is unveiled where good news is given voice, where gratitude is openly and freely displayed. There it is that peace lives. 6 months after this encounter, the angels over Bethlehem would sing, "Peace on earth, goodwill to men." When Elizabeth said, "Blessed is she who has believed, what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished," Mary's reply came from her peaceful heart. "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant, and from now on all people will call me blessed." Now that is not to say that Mary's life would always be peaceful. Much of the time her life would be painful. She would need to remember these peace-filled moments with Elizabeth to comfort and sustain her when she faced the dangers in Bethlehem, when she had to flee for her life and for the life of her newborn baby. She would need that peace in the midst of uncertainty as a refugee in Egypt. She would need that peace as questions about her son's ministry threatened powerful people. And she would need that peace when she was at the foot of the cross, heartbroken. We light the candle of peace today. It is not an item that we hold on to or that we always are peaceful, but it is to remind us that it is a gift of God. May we be encouraged to live in the light of peace today. Thanks be to God. Amen. It may seem a little early to sing Silent Night, Holy Night, but there's such lovely words about peace that I wanted to sing this as we prepare for communion. Let's stand and sing together.